The legs of the lame are unequal or thin, and proverbs, as spoken by fools, are a sin. As one slinging diamonds into a deep pool is one who is giving of depth to a fool. That was our daily proverb for today, little children, and it was from Proverbs chapter 26, verses 7 and 8. That was the Ward Green version, 2004. The poetic translation. So, chapter 11, we've reached that point now. Have we? Is that true? Let me... I've actually forgotten to verify that, whether that's true or not. Did we finish it? Yeah, we finished chapter 10. So, I didn't read the last two paragraphs literally, I don't think, but we can't lower our date for Jericho because all the Egyptian kings that we have radiocarbon for agree with the calibration curve, or they fall, I mean, when they're charted on the calibration curve, they agree with the chronology. Actually, not, they don't agree with the calibration, they are calibrated. We calibrate the radiocarbon using the trees. The radiocarbon is done for trees, right, that are very old trees, or they've been part of a sequence of tree rings that have been linked together in such a way that they make up a long stretch of history that can be charted backwards in time using the tree rings from the different trees. It's called dendrochronology, and that is the calibration that we use for the radiocarbon. So we don't doubt our date for Jericho, so we don't need to lower it by 500 years. So the table of Mr. Whitelaw that we showed in chapter 10, which was in paragraph 10.6, that table only applies around the time of the deluge, not much later, which is where Jericho is, much later than the deluge. Jericho being around 1452, or exactly 1452, in our chronology for the destruction of Jericho, but around 1450, let's say, or 1500, is where we expect any kind of approximate dating, right, for Jericho. So that's long after the... But that's... Wait a minute. No, this is years before present. Right, so Jericho being 1,500 years before present is even worse, because it's somewhere around... Well, let's consider Jericho as being how long after the deluge is it? Or, well, yeah, we didn't do this calculation, but... Okay, let's show this. So, the present time in radiocarbon is called 1950. Instead of our current year. So to get 1452 plus 1950, we'd have to subtract 1 technically, but it's close enough. 3400 roughly years before present is where, and that's the calibrated answer, right? So it's somewhere around 3000 probably uncalibrated. That's where Jericho is. We have to correct it by 500 years, like I said, right? We according to this table of Whitelaw, we'd have to reduce our radiocarbon number for Jericho, which we can't do because it already is perfectly in agreement with the graph. You know, in our chronology, everything fits on that, along with the graph from the radiocarbon work of Bronk Ramsey, which he did for all of dynastic Egypt. All the radiocarbon results were calibrated and fit on that straight line, agreeing essentially with the standard chronology, the conventional, traditional, not the modern day conventional, but it agrees with the traditional chronology of Egypt, which with which we agree too, especially for times like almost the first in the New Kingdom in 1550 BCE. That date we pretty well agree within a couple of years. So everything is so close that we don't want to change anything other than the time around the deluge. That's when, and before the deluge, it goes to infinity, essentially, so that you would find, in theory, right, if something had been found before the deluge, it would be found to be zero or infinite age. Zero radiocarbon would mean infinite age, but that would only be 7,000 years old, according to Mr. Whitelaw. It would just look like it was zero radiocarbon. But in reality, at the time that Mr. Whitelaw did his work, there weren't a lot of measurements that have been done on the fossils, for example. Radiocarbon work on all these fossils shows, as I was just reading yesterday, studying it yesterday, it shows, there's an article on that, it shows that all the radiocarbon, we'll talk about it another time maybe, but because it's, I don't know if we have time to get to it today, but it's a lot of work to cover everything, but it shows that all the fossils, they always have radiocarbon in them. It doesn't matter. So even the supposedly millions of year old fossils, they all have radiocarbon, and way more than rocks have, for example. A lot more than the rocks, which don't have much carbon to start with, of course, but the radiocarbon in the fossil samples is far more than should be there. If they were millions of years old, there should be no radiocarbon. You know, that is, unless there's a mechanism to produce radiocarbon in dead fossils, right? I mean, there's no other explanation. Either these fossils that they have are very young, and they were perhaps only so there is no such thing as a sample that has zero radiocarbon. That's the point. So this infinite, as he's saying here in the table, doesn't exist. To have zero radiocarbon would mean it was infinitely old, but there's no such sample. Every time they test something, it has radiocarbon in it. So this example doesn't really apply. But if it were zero, he's saying it would be 7,000 years old. So really, how accurate is his table here? We don't know. But he's saying it would be 7,000 years old if it had zero radiocarbon. But nothing is 7,000 years old. Maybe that's why nothing has zero radiocarbon, right? Maybe everything is from 5500 BCE, which is the time of Adam's creation, or later. Maybe everything came, well, of course, just before Adam, there was the creation of all the animals. So maybe just around and not too long before, or maybe just even in the same year, if it's six days of creation, which are six literal 24-hour days of creation, if that's what it is, then everything happened in that 1 year of Adam's creation, 5550 BCE in our chronology. In that case, that would explain everything. That would explain why all the samples that are found have radiocarbon in them, because they're only 5550 years old at the most. So this infinite case is never found. We never find zero radiocarbon. Curious, isn't it? So, I mean, there's a lot more to do than what I've given in these chapters, but we can't do everything in one day, can we? So chapter 11 is called Adjusting Whitelaw's Estimate, which is, it spells as an acronym, AWE, Adjusting Whitelaw's Estimate. And the bracketed title, Radiocarbon Arc Wood, spells RAW. So the RAW arc wood, the radiocarbon arc wood, is from the raw number that was given by Mr. Wyatt, which is 5,700 years old. So this is the quote from Ron Wyatt. In fact, I actually probably can find that video where he says this on YouTube, or you can find it somewhere on YouTube or somewhere out on the internet. He said in a video, okay, we did have a radiocarbon dating done, although radioisotope dating methods are totally fallacious. No value at all, you know. There are better ways, there are better ways, he said. He said, we did have it done, and it showed that the material was 5,700 years old, plus or minus, which is certainly in the ballpark. That was the end of his quote that I presented at the beginning of Chapter 11. And the Bible verse for this chapter, the theme scripture, is from Psalms 83 and 18, which reads, so that men may see that you only, whose name is Yahweh, are most high over all the earth. Or Yahweh, whose name is Yahweh, are most high over all the earth. That's from the Bible in Basic English from 1949 and 64. We have seen previously how radiocarbon results out of the publication Radiocarbon present the deluge, which means Mr. Whitelaw, Robert Whitelaw, graphed these results from that publication, it presented to him and to us, to everyone, the time of the deluge as being the time when the number of samples was suddenly diminished by the deluge, apparently. The corrections of Whitelaw for the time of Jericho in 1452 BCE did not work for us because we already had an excellent theory that fit the recent radiocarbon data. Mr. Ron Wyatt, who worked at the Noah's Ark site while he was yet living, actually found a piece of wood which then dated to 5,700 years old using radiocarbon dating, we evaluated this finding in light of Whitelaw's work. Oh, I just realized something. If we're calibrating 5,700 now, today, and he did the test in 1980 or something, whenever he did it, or 1997, whatever it was, if that's 20 years ago, then we'd have to add 20 years to the age of that wood before we even calibrated, right? Although, you know, all of these things are apparently minor details, but I mean, these numbers are not that accurate, you wouldn't think, but we got some amazing results when we analyzed, as you'll see in this chapter, we evaluated this finding in light of Whitelaw's work, that is the date of 5,700 for that arc wood. And I showed you yesterday, it was this piece of petrified wood that was cut so that they took some samples from it for the purpose of radiocarbon. But it was petrified wood, and it was dug up during the groundbreaking ceremony by accident when Mr. Ron Wyatt accidentally discovered this wood when he was digging, taking a shovel to the ground for the groundbreaking ceremony. It was an incredible discovery, right? An incredible thing to find right during the groundbreaking. He found this piece of wood. It's on video. I mean, they found it. Everybody was there, saw him find it. This piece of wood. So the point is, it dates to 5,700 before present, so it must be old, according to radiocarbon. Now, you know, that's if we believe all, and we can't believe all radiocarbon, but if we know that this is from the ark itself, it was laminated wood. The word for laminated in the ancient tongue was gopher, so that the Bible calls it gopher wood. That means laminated wood. So it seems like that, since this was laminated also, this would be wood from the ark itself. And it was found on the site of Noah's Ark on the groundbreaking ceremony for Noah's Ark National Park. Groundbreaking ceremony for the National Park of Turkey called Noah's Ark National Park. So you would think we've got some reason to believe it's from Noah's Ark. So when we look at the radiocarbon, we're going to compare it with the date of Noah's Ark. And let's see. Yeah, when we looked at the time of Jericho, that was, we compared our time for Jericho with the times of the pharaohs that were documented by Mr. Bronk Ramsey in 2010 in his article in Science, in the journal Science. Now, the corrected results are shown in figure 11.1 here. Yeah, this is the drawing I made. Where is it? Did I have it here? There it is. Let's make it small enough so we can see everything here. So, this is going to be bright. Hang on a second here. I wonder if I could have made a reverse image of this, because it's very bright for people who have vision impairment in such a way that they can't look at bright objects or bright things, bright displays. So bear with me, please, here. But yeah, so Whitelaw's graph, the table that he gave follows this kind of curve, so that the, is it linear, though? I'm not sure. It's certainly not linear at the time. It changes from being a straight line here to being what's called asymptotic. It approaches some limit of the beginning of whenever the universe was originally created. That's the limit it will approach, right? It can't be. So the earliest possible time period for any living thing must be some time after the universe was created. So that's why he's put the limit here, 7,000. So he drew the line to approach 7,000 eventually with the measurement. So if we measure something that's infinitely old, it will be dated to the beginning of creation. It won't be dated to millions of years old, because unless you believe that that was when things were created. But in the estimate, you know, with the consistent with the idea of what Mr. Whitelaw believed, the universe wasn't old. It was only 7,000 years old at the most. So that's why he said something that looks to be infinitely old is only 7,000 years old. And the reason was because there were certain things happening with the radiocarbon, or with the carbon-14, which is, you know, science is always learning new things, so we can't really know everything. But radiocarbon is produced, they believe, from nitrogen in the atmosphere by cosmic rays that convert the nitrogen into carbon-14. So it changes nitrogen. Let me think. What is the... Well, carbon has an atomic number of 6, right? So it's got 6 protons. Nitrogen has 7, right? And then oxygen has 8, of course. But nitrogen has 7. So the 7 protons, one of those protons gets converted into a neutron, or, you know, it decays, in other words. And so it becomes carbon instead of being nitrogen. But that's, and that carbon 14 is not stable after it's produced. It decays, and it decays with a half-life of 5,730 years, which is not long enough to measure millions of years, right? It's only long enough to measure something similar to 5,000 or 6,000 years ago. And then at that point, it becomes half of what it was. And if you go back to 50,000 years ago, you see, people originally believed that radiocarbon could measure things as old as 90,000 years ago, because they thought that they kept improving the method that they used. You know, they kept improving the resolution, or they kept improving the sensitivity of the measurements. So they thought they could go back to 90,000, but what they found is nothing is that old. That's the problem. Nothing seemed to be anywhere close to that, because it always had too much radiocarbon in the fossils that they were trying to date as millions of years old, or whatever they were trying to do with it. They could never get millions of years old for the fossils. And when they date the rocks, though, the rocks that are surrounding the fossils, if they're, now most of the this is not something I've studied, but I know that what I've read recently is most of the rocks that they test for age are not sedimentary rocks. They're what's called igneous, or rocks that have been, you know, heated up very hot and then cooled down again. Those are the rocks they test for age. They don't test sedimentary rocks for some reason. For age, why is that? Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things to consider. But when they tested the lava rock that was formed at Mount St. Helens sometime in 1980 or sometime like that, whenever the thing erupted, I think it was 1980, wasn't it? Anyway, or close to 1980, when Mount St. Helens erupted, there was new rock formed, and that rock was tested as millions of years old, like many millions of years old. So how do you, right, I'm trying to think, what was the, I said it was billions of years, I think it was, but it might have been 2.8 million. I read that recently after I said that. Whatever the age was, it was too old. It was measured as being much older than 5 or 10 years it had been there. So their measurement, their whole measurement process, or the whole measurement system that they're using for dating rocks is faulty, right? We know that from that example of Mount St. Helens, that they can't test rocks accurately. So we can't use the tests on, we can't use the age of rocks. So they test life forms, the age of life forms, using radiocarbon. And like we said, there's nothing that's found that's older than what sometimes seems to be older than a certain age, but it's never as old as 90,000 years old, which they thought they would find. It's never that old. It's I think the maximum age they find is much, well, I don't know, half as old as that or something. But you see, it seems to be older because there was less radiocarbon, is what's believed at the time of the deluge. Partly because the cosmic rays, they believe, are deflected by the magnetic field of the Earth. And the magnetic field of the Earth was, they believe, also was much greater at the time of, I'm trying to remember what the details were. But they believe that the creationists believe this, that at the time of the deluge, the cosmic rays would not have been impacting the Earth as much, because the magnetic field would deflect the cosmic rays away from the Earth. So, and they also believe that there was a lot of life, plant life, the plant life on the Earth. They know there was a lot of plant life because of all the fossils. Just prior to the deluge, there was so much plant life that created all the oil and the coal and all these deposits under the earth, there's so much oil and coal underneath the earth nowadays because of the deluge having fossilized all this plant life. So plant life was abundant prior to the deluge. That's proven by the amount of coal that there is and oil underneath the earth, right? All these natural resources that we find related to plant life came from the time before the deluge, which this is again according to the people who believe the deluge, right? So based on that, there was a lot of carbon in the plant, in the plants themselves, and that carbon was not released into the atmosphere, right? So in fact, the plants take the carbon out of the atmosphere. So before the deluge, they don't think there was a lot of carbon or carbon dioxide in the atmosphere anyway. Plus, there was possibly a lot less carbon. Plus, the cosmic rays were possibly a lot less, and so the amount of radiocarbon in the atmosphere prior to the deluge could have been very tiny. That would explain why these things seem to be older than just 5,500 years ago or 5,550 years ago, right? They seem to be as old as sometimes 40 or 50,000 years ago, but they're still not 90,000 years ago, which they should be zero. If they were millions of years old, you know, unless you have a way to produce radiocarbon some other way, which is not likely because they compare it to the rocks that have a very tiny amount. These fossils have a lot more. So, of course, they had carbon in them to start with from the animal and plant life that was, you know, buried in the ground. So that carbon, if you could produce radiocarbon by some other method, it's just not been proven that there's any way to produce radiocarbon other than by having it there initially. So if it was there initially, then these things are very young. They're not as old as even as they test. They're younger than they test because there wasn't as much radiocarbon in the sky at the time when they were buried. So Whitelaw's limit here, the limit is about, from his publications of 1975 and 1979, it's about 5,410 in true years. What's that? Let's see. What's Whitelaw? No, Whitelaw's limit is the point where his curve starts to bend over. Okay, that's right. So we got that from. There's a lot to study here. The limit is where. Well, it's the flood. It's at the time of the flood, which is 5,990. In actual years, perhaps sometime around here. But the time of the deluge. But we're calling it. We have our time of the deluge, which is 5,231 before present calibrated. So we're calling that the point where it's the limit. And that is dated. You can see the magnified version here on the lower right. That's 50. The 5,231 is the dotted line in red underneath. The limit corresponds to 5,410. How do we get that limit? I'm trying to think. 6,485. We must have gotten the 6,485 as the calibrated age, I think. I think that's what that's from. From the 5,700, we got a calibrated age. Because. And Whitelaw's graph reduced that further from 64. I mean, it increased to 6,485, but it was reduced to 5,295. That's the Arkwood age, right? But the deluge time is 5,231. So you see, So the arc would age is somewhat older in this illustration, this graph. This is a very useful, but curious graph, I find. I was really at odds to figure out how I was going to make that graph. And somehow I came up with that. Okay, so at first we had assumed the 5,700 years stated by Mr. Wyatt. This is paragraph 3 now of chapter 11. That graph shows the corrected results, which we can talk about in the subsequent paragraphs, which we'll do tomorrow perhaps. More, a little bit more than today, but Mr. Wyatt gave us the 5,700, and first we assumed it was calibrated and subtracted 1950, and we obtained 3750 BCE as the calendar date for the tree being cut down. But if that were true, then the wood would be almost 500 years old when it was used to build the ark in 3282 BCE, with the years counting backwards from 3750, right? Be 400 years to get to 2350. No, sorry, it would be 300 years to get to 3450, and then less than 100 more to get to... Is that right? No. We have to go to 3350. That's right. So it'd be more than 400 years from 3750 to 3282. The wood would have been 400 years old, or more, and more, when it was used to build the ark. So that's not the only way of doing it, though. We could use 5,700 and correct from White Law. If we used White Law, that would lower it. If we did that, though, that would make a date lower than 5,000, because his 5,000 uncorrected age is 5,990, so 57, which is lower than 5,990, would be less than 5,000 once we corrected it. And that would put the flood later than, much later than 5,232, right? Much less before present. So, okay. It would still be in the ballpark, but so we didn't do it that way, so... The deluge date of 3282 is equal to 5231, right? It would still be in the ballpark. If 5990 were reduced, we had to reduce from 5990 to 5,000 to get 5,000, if we'd had 5990, right? But if it was 5700, we'd go less than 5,000, and we want 5231. So maybe it's... Maybe it is uncalibrated, is what we decided here. Okay, so more recently we adjusted our assumption and we assumed it was raw. So it's not a calibrated number, 5,700. And assuming that, we used Fairbanks online calculator and we got the number 6485 by calibrating 5,700. So that's where we got 6485. That's it for today. I just realized we're out of time. But that's where the 6485 came from on the graph. And then we charted it against Whitelaw's table to correct it. And we saw it came out only 60 or some years prior to the deluge. But we do some more corrections later. As we read onward here in the chapter, we'll talk about that hopefully tomorrow. Soon. So August 16th, 2024 of the Common Era, the time is 2043 hours Eastern Daylight Time. In North America, Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much. Thank you for listening and watching. And on my behalf, this is Liv Dusty and this is Cassie. They're saying bye for now, and we studied Chapter 11 of Trojan War, paragraphs 1 through 3 today.